Hello, you're listening to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter.
Together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans.
United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation.
We are a nation under God. I believe God intended
liberty and justice for all,
for us to be free.
Well, we are Americans. And Ronald Reagan says God intended us to be free. So how do we do that? Well, let's take a trip through time. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Hunters and gatherers, berry pickers, nut pickers, people out trying to kill a deer or a mastodon, just trying to survive. And they run into another group of hunters and gatherers who haven't had a very good day of hunting, or haven't found the blackberry patch. And they're hungry. And they ask the successful hunters and gatherers to share their food. The answer may be positive or negative. But the hungry ones are going to decide what to do about it. They may want to trade. They may have something that the successful hunters would like to have. Or maybe they have more men in their group than the successful hunters and gatherers. Maybe they'll just take what the others have hunted and gathered. And as time went on, the men in the group who could prove to the rest of the people in the clan that they were powerful enough to protect or to provide became the leaders. And with that, those hunters and gatherers gave up some of their liberty. If these hunters and gatherers had had the benefit of the wisdom of Thomas Jefferson, they may not have been willing to let those protectors protect them at all, and here's why.
But a society that will trade a little liberty for a little order will lose both and deserves neither.
But after the hunters and gatherers came the farmers and the fishermen and the lumberjacks. And they built their villages and they saved for the wintertime so that they'd have enough food. But then over the hill would come a horde. It might have been a tribe from across the mountain who had had a drought or disease or famine. And when they came over the hill and saw that the farmers had food and that the fishermen had packed their fish away in salt and that the lumberjacks had stored their wood, they had to make a decision. Do we take it from them or do we trade? Or do we just keep on moving because their protectors are too strong, their defenders too prepared? Or maybe they would even offer to protect them from other hordes for a fee or a tax of some of the vegetables and some of the fish and some of the wood. Have you ever wondered how long the meek will keep the earth after they inherit it? There's a book and a movie called The Clan of the Cave Bear. And it's about a group of Neanderthal people who find a little orphan girl. And she's so ugly. She doesn't have a barrel chest like the rest of the Neanderthals. And she doesn't have dark brown eyes. And she doesn't grunt when she talks. Her hair is long and blonde. Her eyes are blue. Her legs are long, and she has no hair on her arms and legs. So she's different. She had to be treated different. The clan was ruled by the strongest warrior. It was guided by the wisdom of the medicine man. But they listened to their women when the women spoke. And they protected her when they found out that she had a knowledge of numbers beyond five, that she could put two hands together and come up with a number like 10, or two people could bring their hands together and make 20. She was not persecuted because of her intelligence by some of the people in the clan, but some wanted to persecute her because she was different. Eventually, she was kicked out of the clan because she challenged the wisdom of the leaders and showed them new ways. As time went on, the Neanderthals disappeared, the cave people disappeared, and eventually you got a society in Egypt ruled by pharaohs. And the pharaohs controlled the people and told the people that they had to build these giant monuments and that they had no choice because the pharaoh had an army. If they could share the wisdom of Mr. Jefferson, he might explain to them what true liberty was all about.
Of liberty, I would say that in the whole plenitude of its extent, it is unobstructed action according to our will. But rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. I do not add within the limits of law, because law is often the tyrant's will, and always so when it violates the rights of an individual. When the people fear their government, there is tyranny, and when the government fears the people, there is liberty.
After the pharaohs came Moses, David, Solomon, Jesus, Muhammad, the Sunni, the Shiite, the Buddha, the Catholic, the Protestant, and the atheist. All these beliefs created conflicts in societies where priests were part of the ruling class. And that led us to a historic discussion of the separation of church and state. Let's listen to what Mr. Jefferson had to say about religion.
History, Mr. Baxter, I believe furnishes no example of a priest-ridden people maintaining a free civil government. This marks the lowest grade of ignorance of which their civil as well as religious leaders will always avail themselves for their own purposes. It does me no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no god.
So, the hunters and the gatherers and the farmers and the fishermen and the lumberjacks all had heroes who became military people who would protect them and their livelihood and their families. But some of these heroes became dictators. Some became emperors. Some tried to form democracies, like the Greek democracies. And as we mentioned last week, a democracy is majority rule and is destructive of liberty because there is no law to prevent the majority from trampling on individual rights. Whatever the majority says goes. A lynch mob is an example of pure democracy in action. There is only one dissenting vote, and that is cast by the person at the end of the rope. And a democracy in that form is very emotional. Which brings me to another thought, as many of us were glued to our televisions this week. How many of us were ready to lynch someone who was having a trial for murder this week? And had we not had a republic, which is a government of law under a constitution, the constitution holds the government in check and prevents the majority acting through their government from violating the rights of the individual. Under this system of government, a lynch mob is illegal. The suspected criminal cannot be denied his or her right to a fair trial, even if a majority of the citizenry demands otherwise. So earlier we heard Ronald Reagan say,
"Liberty and justice for all." And I believe God intended
liberty and justice for all,
for us to be free.
So, how free is free? When we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the American flag, and the American military, and the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, how much freedom do we have? That's going to be the topic today. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door, and we'll be right back.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment here on 100.3 WNOX.
Sun up on a cool, sweet morning. Sausage frying in the pan. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the finest in the land. Wamplers, Wamplers, it's great sausage made on the farm in Tennessee. Don't say sausage, just say Wamplers, for the best in quality. Make that sausage always Wamplers, it's the best in quality.
Hello, I'm Randy Baxter, your host of The Veteran Next Door. I'm not a veteran, but many of my clients are. They seem to have the same issues regarding their estate plans. From the time you turn 60 to the day you turn 85, just like all my clients, you'll experience health changes, relationship changes, and asset changes that will affect you for the rest of your life. I call this a change in your true purpose for money. At age 65, with retirement ahead, thoughts of having enough income for the rest of your life take priority. But what happens if the market crashes, or your spouse dies, or becomes so ill it affects your monthly budget? Are you using your veterans' benefits appropriately? Would you qualify for Medicaid planning? Are all your legal documents up to date? Do you really understand the annuity you purchased or the risk in the stocks and mutual funds that you own? Do you have someone who represents you and your estate plan and heirs, and not some company in New York or an agent who must sell you products his company tells him or her to sell? Before becoming my client, you must first participate in a free, no-obligation review of your current plans, your current estate plan documents, and your current health status. Then, we need to discuss how your health status affects your true purpose for money. We will also discuss how your health and relationship status can best be served by your current plan. Then we will review your liquid and non-liquid assets, discussing any special needs of you, your spouse, or any other dependent. And what happens next? Nothing. The interview is over. We discuss if you feel a need to have another interview a few days later, or we set the appointment for a second interview on a later date. Nothing is purchased or sold
in this interview, and you make the decision if there needs to be another interview. This interview can occur in my office or in your home. The lives of my clients evolve and change. It's important to build trust and to maintain a long-term relationship with any family or financial advisor. Take the first step and call 525-2323. That's 865-525-2323 and schedule an appointment. There's no fee to have this review and no obligation. My name is Randy Baxter, and I'm the host of The Veteran Next Door, and I'd like to have you as a client. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter. Earlier we were talking about America and being free, and how Ronald Reagan said we were all Americans. But how do we get there? Well, how do we get to be free? What does it mean when our flag sails into port, or opposing military see our army or our Marines heading right at them with the flag flying high? Long time ago, a couple hundred years, the world was ruled by despots and kings with hereditary progressions and absolute power. England had a parliament, but most other countries had their judges controlled by the crown and laws dictated by absolute power, with military authority ruling over civil authority. The French Revolution occurred when there was no remaining middle class. Under the disguise of democracy, a dictator appeared. The Spanish crown ruled the Caribbean, Florida dominated Mexico, which eventually had its own dictatorship, Santa Anna. The Texas War for Independence was American-inspired to be released from that dictator. They were seeking liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Most people don't know the difference between the war in Texas, the Texas War, and the Mexican War. They were two separate wars. One was fought for the independence and liberty of Texas, and the other was fought for American manifest destiny to take over California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. Was that for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Or manifest destiny? And once that manifest destiny was reached, did everybody get life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And in the Civil War, man's liberty to own a slave was in conflict with the slave's God-given liberty to be free. Then our flag went overseas in the Spanish-American War. It was a popular war. We were big enough to whip those people in Cuba and those folks in the Philippines, and the newspaper said we could do it, and everybody got the rah-rahs and went down and won a war. Well, that was called imperialism. That was not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we did it, and we gave them, when it was over, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. World War I, when we went over there, mostly with draftees who had given up their freedom and liberty for a short period of time in order to establish freedom of the seas and trade. And it was the last gasp of the royal families in Europe. But in World War II, our liberty was being threatened. Our liberty and pursuit of happiness could be lost had we not stood up to the dictators. And in Korea, we were attacked by a nation that had limited liberty and limited pursuit of happiness. And then we look at Yugoslavia after World War II and President Tito. When he died, Yugoslavia fell apart. They were not united, and they had no flag to salute for which the republic stood. And in Vietnam, Our paranoid fear of the domino effect led us down a road of destruction. That was not our soldiers' fault. They won every major engagement and fought as we ordered them to fight. It was the American psyche. We were not united under the flag to the republic for which it stands. The Cold War could end all life overnight. The smaller wars were liberation battles. And when we lost our Marines in Lebanon, we had to decide if the fight was worth the loss. Which brings me to what's going on now in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we need to understand the Sunni and the Shiite battle and how that will never end until one is annihilated. Do you understand the Shiite-Sunni split and what it's really about? It's about who should lead Islam. And it began at the moment of Muhammad's death. As the founder of Islam, he was the undisputed leader. And if he had had a son, the split might never have happened. A son would automatically have inherited his father's authority. But he died without sons, and without leaving a clear will. His closest male relative was his cousin and son-in-law, the philosopher warrior Ali, whose followers, the Shiite Ali, which means followers of Ali, or Shiite for short, say that he was the only one with the spiritual authority to succeed Muhammad. The Sunnis believe that the caliphate should go to whoever would be best equipped politically to maintain the burgeoning Muslim empire backing Muhammad's father-in-law, Abu Bakr. In the end, Abu Bakr was named the first caliph. Though Ali eventually assumed the caliphate 25 years later, he was assassinated. Power fell to the founder of the first Sunni dynasty, and the Shiites felt a terrible, lasting sense of dispossession. In a nutshell, the difference between the two is that the Sunnis tend to respect how power actually works rather than the way it should work in an ideal world. In a sense, the Shiite ideology is more idealistic, while the Sunni one more pragmatic. Both believe that if you do not believe the way they do, you do not deserve to live. So, what does Mr. Jefferson have to say about that, and how does that affect our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Remember, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force may destroy, but cannot disjoin them. And keep in mind, Mr. Baxter, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
So our troops are in Iraq, flying our flag, which represents freedom to them, and the Shia and the Sunni look up at that flag, and they see interference. Many Muslims believe that death is the only way to wake the conscience of Muslims and call attention to tyranny and corruption. This week, close to a dozen Americans died in Iraq. And while we were celebrating the 4th of July, a half a dozen or more were killed in Afghanistan. They were all killed by small arms fires and little explosive devices that might go off anywhere. Aside from the use of the word martyrdom, today's suicide bombings are mainly orchestrated not by Shiites, but by a small minority of radical Sunni fundamentalists, most notoriously Al-Qaeda. Such attacks are weapons of war, and the use of the word martyr for suicide bombers is seen as a perversion of Islam by most spiritual leaders, both Sunni and Shiite. The key events of Shiite identity all took place in Iraq. Ali was assassinated near Najaf, where the city rose around his shrine. Hussein died at Karbala, which then became the twin holy city to Najaf. So if there is one place the rift between Shiites and Sunnis has always been most volatile, it is Iraq. In Iraq, and throughout the Middle East, in fact, what happened centuries ago is alive and fresh as though it had happened just yesterday. Our American soldiers don't think in terms of 500 years or 1,000 years. They think in terms of how long do I have to be here before I can go home? Or what is it I'm supposed to do while I'm here? The Sunni-Shiite story of tragic loss and dispossession is now one of liberation from oppression. That makes it all the more important for us to grasp today when the U.S. is cast in the role of the occupier and thus the oppressor. They do not think that the stars and stripes means freedom and liberty. They do not understand the American flag or the words united and to the republic for which it stands. The American soldier is a tool. He's loyal. He's brave. He's willing to follow his orders. He expects his orders to be well thought out and well planned. He expects to be accomplishing a mission that helps end what's going on. So what are we doing in Iraq and Afghanistan? Are we there to unite them? Do they have a flag? Are they a republic? Will they hold together when we pull out? These aren't the questions that the American soldier needs to answer. His job is to follow orders and get home alive. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment here on 100.3 WNOX.
Hello, Tennessee fans. This is Rick Terry with Rick Terry Jewelry Designs. And you know, I'm the official place for those wonderful fire opals, that Tennessee jewelry that you've never seen anywhere else. And I want to be your jeweler. And now, with two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Campbell Station Road, where we've been forever, and our second location in Lenoir City on Highway 321, Lenoir Mills Center. We're in the shopping center with the Brown Cup. Serving East Tennessee for over 22 years, I'm Rick Terry, and I want to be your jeweler.
Historic Springs Bottling Company has set up an alkaline water distribution center at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. This is natural spring water with no chemicals added, ionized, alkaline, pH 9+, delicious, clean, and smooth. It's an effective antioxidant, reduces acid waste, increases alkalinity, and hydrates cells quickly. It's ideal for athletes. Health News International reports that acidic tap water can contribute to type 1 diabetes. The newspaper also reported that drinking alkaline water can neutralize acidity. It is also reported to counteract over-acidity when you have a cold or a flu. This can help reduce the risk of heart disease, strokes, immune dysfunctions, and many common ailments. So visit the Veteran Next Door gift shop and get a week's supply and change the acid levels in your digestive system. Keep a gallon in the fridge this week and see if it makes a difference. The Veteran Next Door store is open Saturday from 10 until 3. Call 865-525-2320. Located one block west of East Minister Presbyterian Church, the Better Next Door Gift Store.
Sun up on a cool, sweet morning. Sausage frying in the pan. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the finest in the land. Wamplers, Wamplers, it's great sausage made on the farm in Tennessee. Don't say sausage, just say Wamplers for the best in quality. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the best in quality.
Randy Baxter, the host of The Veteran Next Door, is available to speak to your civic group, organization, your church, your school, or any group interested in the American veteran and what non-veterans can do to support them. Topics will include great stories from the Army, Marines, Air Force, and Navy, personal stories about our veterans, and ways to interview your personal veteran while you still can. Now, if you're looking for a dynamic speaker and a heartwarming desire to preserve our heritage and the heritage of all veterans, contact Randy Baxter to schedule your group's event. Call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or visit theveterannextdoor.com, our website, to get more information. Put Randy Baxter on your calendar today. Randy Baxter, the host of The Veteran Next Door, now available for your speaking engagement.
Now back to The Veteran Next Door on 100.3 WNOX.
Some American soldiers were killed this week in a rocket attack at a U.S. base near the Iranian border in Iraq. The U.S. military commanders have said in recent months that they feared such an increase in violence would accompany the planned withdrawal of most American troops by the end of the year. Military officials in Baghdad and at the Pentagon blamed the mounting death toll on the growing sophistication of weapons that insurgents and Iranian-backed military groups are using, including powerful rockets, armor-piercing grenades, and jam-resistant roadside bombs suspecting of coming from Iran. The heightened danger underscores the volatile security situation in Iraq amid ongoing debate here and in Washington about whether any U.S. troops should remain in the country. June's death toll was the highest since 15 troops died here in June 2009. 14 of the deaths were combat-related. During much of the insurgency that followed the 2003 U.S.-led invasion, U.S. military commanders blamed Sunni-dominated terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda in Iraq for many of the attacks against American troops. But as the U.S. military has adjusted its tactics, largely withdrawing from cities and improving its technological capacity to combat deadly roadside bombs and suicide attacks, officials say it has become far harder for loosely organized Sunni militias to strike out against the roughly 46,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. Now, according to Major General Jeffrey Buchanan, chief spokesman for the U.S. military in Iraq, the primary threat to Americans comes from three Shiite militia groups operating in Iraq, which officials said they believe are being trained and equipped by Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Special Forces. All of them receive at least indirect support from elements in Iran. When the Americans leave Iraq, are they going to be united? Or are they going to be separated between Sunni and Shiite? Are they going to be agitated by Iran? How does the American soldier solve that? Is that his job? The same thing is going on in Afghanistan. Are the Afghans united? Do they have a flag? Are they forming a republic for which that flag will stand? Is that why we're over there? Or are they there to protect our freedoms over here? Are they protecting our borders? Are they protecting our life, our lives, our liberties, and our pursuit of happiness? On September 11th, 2001, many of those people came over here and destroyed our buildings and killed many of our people. They were restricting our lives. They were restricting our liberties and are totally against our pursuit of happiness. Since 1776, the pursuit of happiness has been the great world question. What does happiness mean? For example, is it an opportunity for a meaningful life? Or is it blissful contentment? And why does it vary from individuals around the world? How does the perception of happiness differ in countries as desperate as Cuba, Afghanistan, Japan, and Russia? Are people who are fighting against us right now, are they fighting us because it gives them happiness? Does restricting our liberty give them great contentment? And what about here on the home front? When we talk about life, are we talking about that little tiny spark that changes a chemical structure and lets it live and breathe and multiply? Is a mosquito, does it have the same life force as a chipmunk or a dog or a human being? When does life occur? Is it at conception? Or is it immaculate conception? Or a test tube baby? Is it a philosophy? Is it an event that happens that can be controlled by an individual or the circumstances of other individuals? When is a life a life? And inside our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, these are some of the major issues that we're confronting all day long. And then we have soldiers across the world who are protecting us and providing us a right to. This includes the right to choose. This includes the right to health, the right to worship as we see fit, the right to read the tax laws and decide when we pay our taxes and if we pay our taxes, and the right to own a gun. Is that what our soldiers are doing? You're listening to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter. We've been talking today about our soldiers and what it is they're doing overseas. And I just want to read you an opening paragraph to one of our major documents that we claim to respect and want followed. And here it is. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. When the Constitution was written, it was set up to give the states and the people in the United States a guideline of how to guarantee the freedoms and rights and how to separate the power so that no one section of the government could control the other. But at the same time, inside the Constitution, several people had realized, hey, there's a few things missing. And on December 15, 1791, the Bill of Rights was established. First was the freedom of speech, press, religion, and petition. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The second was the right to keep and bear arms. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The conditions for quarters of soldiers. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. The right of search and seizure regulated. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Provisions concerning prosecution. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land of naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself or herself, not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. The right to a speedy trial. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Right to a trial by jury, and suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Excessive bail and cruel punishment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. The rule of construction of Constitution. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And 10, the rights of the states under the Constitution, the powers not relegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. When we talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and our American soldiers overseas, some losing their lives, some getting injuries that they have to live with for the rest of their lives, suffering economic stress and those kind of calamities. When the world sees the American flag coming, what do we want them to think? Do we want them to think that we are united and that the flag represents our republic of laws and freedoms? When it comes to symbolizing freedom in the spirit of 76, there may be another flag. With all due respect to the Stars and Stripes, maybe the yellow Gadsden flag with the coiled rattlesnake and the defiant "Don't Tread on Me" motto written on it. The meaning of "O Glory" can get mixed up with the rights and wrongs of the perpetually new and improved government. The meaning of "Don't Tread on Me" is unmistakable. In December 1775, an American guesser anonymously wrote to the Pennsylvania Journal, "I observed on one of the drums belonging to the Marines now raising, there was a painted rattlesnake with his modest motto under it, 'Don't tread on me.' As I know it is the custom to have some device on the arms of every country, I suppose this may have been intended for the arms of America." First, it occurred to him that the rattlesnake is found in no other quarter of the world besides America. The rattlesnake also has sharp eyes and may therefore be esteemed an emblem of vigilance. She never begins an attack, nor, when once engaged, never surrenders. She is therefore an emblem of magnanimity and true courage. She never wounds till she has generously given notice, even to her enemy, and cautioned him against the danger of treading on her. Finally, I confess, I was wholly at a loss what to make of the rattles, till I went back and counted them and found them just 13, exactly the number of the colonies united in America. And I recollected, too, that this was the only part of the snake which increased in numbers. 'Tis curious and amazing to observe how distinct and independent of each other the rattles of this animal are, and yet how firmly they are united together, so as never to be separated but by breaking them to pieces. One of those rattles singly is incapable of producing sound, but the ringing of 13 together is sufficient to alarm the boldest man living. Our soldiers go overseas. They're shot at with small arms fire. They're blown up with small explosive devices. They are there representing you and me. The whole world should know that although we love life, we love liberty and the pursuit of happiness, if you put that at risk or harm our fellow Americans, our military will let you know about it. You've been listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll see you next week.